Today we celebrate the solemnity of Corpus Christi. It's one of the seven sacraments. Sacraments convey divine grace, supernatural grace, that transcend the natural. And it's through the natural, or nature, we can appreciate these sevenfold gifts, in particular this of the Most Holy Eucharist. In nature, a mother gives birth to a child. In the supernatural baptism, that child is then born into the spiritual life. Every one of us on planet Earth, the 7 billion plus of us, have a body and a soul. We're not angels, we're not animals, we're a composite being. But it's through the sacrament of baptism that that soul becomes spiritualized and therefore has a destiny beyond the grave. Furthermore, in nature, the mother of the child gives nourishment, flesh and blood of her own flesh and blood to feed the child within her womb. That's natural. That's part of reality. In the supernatural reality, once we're born into God's family, and the church is a mother, holy mother church, wants to feed us with her flesh and blood, the flesh and blood of Christ himself. And that occurs in the Most Holy Eucharist, the feast of today. We're dealing here with mysteries that transcend the natural. They're supernatural. Therefore, we can't fully perceive them. But that doesn't mean we can't understand them through the eyes of faith. This reality, as all realities, as distinct to our Facebook fiction, is based upon 3D. 3D is three dimensions of actual reality. So too, there are three Ds for this dogma of the Eucharist. It's a dogma, it's a doctrine, and a discipline, the three Ds. The dogma is simple. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. It's real flesh, it's real blood. Those are the words spoken by Jesus, recorded in his St. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Not once, but three times, he says, it's real flesh, it's real blood. He wanted to make it very clear to us. Unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we shall not have supernatural life in our soul. That's the dogma. It can't change, never has. We believe it simply because Jesus is God, and God, unlike us, cannot lie. That's the hard teaching. That is then developed and explained in the doctrine provided for us by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. He's an extraordinary theologian, and the Mass we're singing today, in particular the sequence that was sung, is from his heart and mind. He wrote that Mass, the words we're singing today, in honour of this great mystery we celebrate. He taught the doctrine of transubstantiation, which means at the words of consecration, the Holy Spirit, not the priest — the priest is God's instrument, he says the words over the matter, the bread and wine — but it's the Holy Spirit that comes down and changes, transforms the bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. The appearance, the accidents remain the same. Still looks like bread and wine, but the substance, the inner nature, has been transformed. We can't see that, but the angels can. And there have been Eucharistic miracles where people have actually seen the substance change before their eyes. Now, some are recent, and you can Google them up. So do your own research there. But we believe it in faith. It actually happens. And that gives us the real presence of Christ. And that's why the priest genuflects, a sign of adoration, after consecration. In adoration of the blessed presence, the holy presence of the Word incarnate upon the altar, who then wants to feed our souls, to nourish supernatural life within. That's the doctrine. Robert Barron, now Bishop Barron, in his series Catholicism, a very good set of DVDs, has a marvellous one on the Eucharist. He talks about appearance and reality. The appearance of what you see isn't the reality of what you receive. And he explains it very well with modern language. Once again, he borrows upon St. Thomas Aquinas to extrapolate and put before us in cogent terms this great mystery, the doctrine of the Eucharist. Dogma, doctrine, discipline. The application to us. We are obliged to attend Mass every Sunday, to worship God, to keep the third commandment. God also obliges us to go to communion, provided we have the desired requisites. Firstly, we be a Catholic who believes. Secondly, that we be free of serious sin, because we're going to receive the author of grace. And if we don't have grace in our soul, how dare we approach him? So therefore, we need to go to reconciliation, be reconciled with the Lord if we're in mortal sin prior to reception. And thirdly, that we prepare ourselves by fasting for 1 hour before Holy Communion. Simple, the three conditions. They can change. My parents, when they were growing up, the discipline of fasting was from midnight, no food nor water until Holy Communion. Thus, in 50 years ago, Masses were always early in the morning because people couldn't maintain their fast to go to Holy Communion. And people then appreciated more of the fasting in the sense that they prepared themselves well. Many Catholics today don't even know that they have to fast 1 hour before Holy Communion. So let's just remind people of these three conditions and encourage people, once they've fulfilled the conditions, to receive our Lord often. Because he gives so many graces to the soul. He bolsters our willpower, strengthens our insights, gives greater virtue, offsets venial sins, and gives us a vision of where he wants us to be and how he wants us to live. It's by being spiritually fed in our spiritual soul, we are able to live out the faith. In living out the faith, we are better prepared and able to continue on in our journey as wayfarers or pilgrims in this life, heading to the eternal kingdom, awaiting those who seek God's will. So we thank God today for this great mystery of the Eucharist. We remember the 3D, dogma, doctrine, and discipline. And most of all, we worship him and we adore him in his most hidden manner. I often think of little Francesco, now Blessed Francesco of Fatima, who, when he was told he's going to die soon, spent much of his free time just visiting Jesus in the church. And people would say, what are you doing in the church? Why don't you come to school? He says, I'd rather go into the church and talk to the hidden Jesus. He's there, and I want to be with him. The simplicity of children. He could see him through the eyes of faith, the presence of God. May we always be mindful of the presence of God in this holy sacrament of the Blessed Eucharist.